Thank you, preacher. God bless you.
I love you, husband.
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, good preacher. Thank you, good church. Well, well. I'm telling you, you can't even imagine the thrill that it is for me to be able to be here today and celebrate this great day with you. This is just incredible. I guess I sort of feel like, and I was so blessed by God to have a little part in the church coming together and into existence. I sort of feel like a daddy, and a new baby is born, and now then his baby is grown up. And I see that has happened here. And not only has it grown up, Brother Dave, a marriage has happened. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I'm just so honored, so thrilled to get to be with you today and share in this great event. I love Pastor Will. He is indeed a very special friend. But I think all of you know that the best thing about Pastor Will is Ms. Niece. Right? You understand that, right? Very good. I've known them for several years now, and I've often wondered, how in the world? Why in the world would a lady, as incredible as she is, beautiful, intelligent, talented, why she would marry a guy like that? Y'all been wondering the same thing, haven't you? Yeah, and I don't know. Maybe I got a little closer to the truth the other day. My wife Sherry and I, we were out in the mall over there, and we were looking around, and I got to watch it. I looked across the way, and there was Pastor Will and Miss Neeson. They were doing some shopping, and so we just kind of hung back and watched them. And I got to noticing that every time Miss Niece saw a rack that had a clearance sign on it, she went right to that rack. And it finally dawned on me, the reason she married him is she can't pass up anything that's half off. Right? It'll be the last time I get to preach here. I can see that. God bless you. Hey, I'm just kidding. Listen. I thank God for you. I thank God for what He is doing here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And I believe this, church. I believe this with every fiber of my being. I believe that the greatest days for Good Shepherd Baptist Church are yet ahead. I just believe that. I believe God has raised up this church and He has blended it with Fellowship Church. For this reason, and that is to be a salvation station here in Grand Prairie. I just believe God has some incredible, incredible things ahead for you, and I'm excited. I'm excited to be a part of that. You just know I'm praying for you, and I'm just thrilled to get to share in this service today. In our English language, we have a phrase that we sometimes use, and it is a phrase that I think is probably very familiar to all of us. And this phrase that we sometimes use, you might hear it at the end of a football game, where a field goal kicker is lining up the kick with 2 seconds on the clock and down by one, and he's getting ready to kick a game-winning field goal. You might hear this phrase used in that scenario or in a basketball game where a team is down by one, no time left on the clock, and a guy's on the foul line and he's getting ready to shoot two free throws. If he makes both of them, his team wins. You might hear this phrase used in that scenario. Or you might hear this phrase used when someone who is on death row is being marched down to the execution chamber and they know that their life is just about to end. This is a common phrase that we are familiar with. Are you ready for that phrase? Here it is. The phrase is this. It all comes down to this. Are y'all with me? It all comes down to this. That phrase that we use, it sort of capsulizes what we mean by this is the bottom line. This is the summary of it all. We would say if this is the last word to be spoken, we would say something like, it all comes down to this. It's the total. It's the finale. It's the bottom line. It's the final word on the subject. It all comes down to this. Turn to your neighbor and say, it all comes down to this. It all comes down to this. Now, with that, I want you to keep this in mind. When it comes to church ministry, and when it comes to the work of Good Shepherd Baptist Church, and even when it comes down to our own personal lives and personal service to the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes down to what Good Shepherd Baptist Church is really all about, what it is that makes it tick, what it is that is in the heart of Pastor Milbury, and what it is in the hearts of the leadership of this church, when it all comes down to this, ministry, church ministry, what it is that makes Good Shepherd Baptist Church do what it does, because here's what I found out in several years of ministry, and I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and I found this out. Ministry can sometimes be complicated. Ministry sometimes it can be very discouraging. Now, y'all would never know anything like about that, would you? It can become discouraging. Ministry sometimes can be very confusing. Ministry at times can be very cumbersome. But we keep on doing it. And you keep on going forward. And I've got to tell you, over the course of 4 years, Good Shepherd Baptist Church has had its shares of setbacks and things that have been discouraging, and times when you look around and you're thinking, why am I doing what I am doing? If I were to ask in this room this morning, when it all comes down to this, if I were to ask you, what is the this? Are y'all with me? It all comes down to this. If I were to ask you, in your opinion, what is this? What is it that motivates you as a church? What is this? Because whatever this is, it must be pretty significant, don't you think? To make you want to keep on going. To make you want to get up when you fall down, dust yourself off, and press on. Well, What is the this? And if I were to give you an opportunity to stand and say, what do you think the this is? I think that we may put it in several different terminologies, but I think the bottom line would be, and the final word would be somehow all tied to the this that I want to talk to you about this morning. It all comes down to this. Now, since I am the one doing the preaching this morning, I want to take you to a passage that I believe answers the question of what is this? It all comes down to this. I want to take you to a passage that I believe gives us the answer of what that significant thing is, of that, what that strong motivation is, what it is that makes Good Shepherd Baptist Church do what it does and keep on doing what it is doing. It all comes down to this. Here's the answer. Take your Bible and join me this morning in the book of Romans and chapter number 10. In Romans chapter number 10, and I'm going to speak to you just on one verse of Scripture this morning, all right? Just on, now we're going to be looking at others, but just one verse of Scripture this morning in Romans chapter number 10, and here's the deal. Listen, I will preach quickly if you say amen. Amen, 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 right? Yeah, and knowing we're going to go eat here in just a little bit, that just adds to it. Romans chapter number 10, and I'm going to suggest to you this morning that when it comes to the work of the ministry, when it comes to Good Shepherd Baptist Church, it all comes down to this. Here it is, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. And Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Hang on. Paul is writing, and if you look at the context, he's writing concerning how Israel fits into the scheme and providence of God's workings. You remember that the Apostle Paul himself was a Jew. He was of Jewish nationality. And so what Paul is doing in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 10, and even over into Romans chapter 11, he is talking about Israel and how Israel fits into the scheme of God's providence and God's working, and how Israel fits in to the salvation that Jesus Christ has brought about. And so Paul says here in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel." Think about this for just a second. He's talking about his own people. He's talking about the people, his own family. And he says, "My prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Now, I would also suggest to you that verse number 1, Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, the one we've just read, I would suggest to you that that is actually the thematic verse for this entire section of Scripture. You know, in English composition, we became familiar with the thematic statement. Do y'all remember that back from high school? That's been a long time ago for some of us, right? But the thematic statement
the subject line, if you would, of an article. That Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1 is actually the subject line. It is the theme. It is the motivation. All of the rest of Romans chapter 10 sort of spins off of this one thought here in verse number 1. Now you may say, well, why is that significant? It's significant for this reason. Do you remember what goes on in Romans chapter 10? In Romans chapter 10, as a matter of fact, if you would, glance over to verse number 9 of Romans chapter 10. Verse number 9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I don't know about you, but I was led to Christ by what was called the old Roman road of salvation. Romans chapter 10 is actually the final segment of that Romans road of salvation. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, why did Paul say that in verse number 9? I would suggest to you that the reason he said that in verse number 9, it all goes back to verse number 1 where he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse number 9 is telling how they are saved. It's the thematic verse. As a matter of fact, glance down to verse number 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Now I love this, Brother Will. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. For they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And verse number 17, we're familiar with this. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That entire section there, the reason he writes that about how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard, and how shall they believe hear without a preacher. All of this, faith cometh by hearing by the Word of God. All of that is because of verse number 1 where he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. It's the thematic verse. It sort of sets the stage. Paul is saying, man, I want Israel to come to know Christ. Now here we are. Here we are in Texas. And aren't you glad we're in Texas? I love Texas. And not only that, here we are in Grand Prairie, Texas. And without doing any harm to the Word of God, I'm going to suggest this. That you know what Good Shepherd Baptist Church is really all about? You know what it's really all about? Now we believe this ultimately is to bring glory to Almighty God. It's to honor Him. But you know the very essence of your existence? It's for this reason. There are lost people in Grand Prairie, Texas. Have y'all met any of them? There are lost people here. And not only Grand Prairie, but Arlington. And all of the surrounding all of the surrounding suburbs. There are lost people here. And you know, I'm suggesting that the very essence of Good Shepherd Baptist Church is this. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Grand Prairie is that they might be saved. You think about this. Do you realize that in this world, the only two things in this world that are eternal is the Word of God and the souls of men. That's the only thing that's eternal. It's the Word of God and the souls of men. And you know why God planted Good Shepherd Baptist Church and at the same time was working through Fellowship Church and brought the churches together? You know the very essence was that you may reach lost souls for Christ. That's the bottom line. Now hear me. There are many other good things that churches do. The churches that I pastored, we did them too. But the very motivation behind all of those other ministries that we had was that we may reach people with the message of Jesus Christ. That's really the bottom line. It all comes down to this. That's the summary of it all. It all comes down to this. Now, I want to just give you two thoughts this morning. And I'll give them to you. I'll give them to you quickly. Just two thoughts from Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1 that I want us to just concentrate on for just a little bit this morning. About it all comes down to this. I want you to think with me, number one, what I would call the simplicity of the mission. The simplicity of the mission. There in verse number 1, again, I want you to notice this. Notice what the mission is. Brethren, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is, and here's the mission, that they might be saved. That's the mission. It's pretty simple. Do you realize that what church is really all about, it's really not rocket science. It's this. There are lost people out there, and we have the message of salvation that they need. Now, that's not hard to understand, is it? And that salvation, the salvation that we preach and believe that is in Jesus Christ, and by the way, in Jesus Christ alone, that is the message that they need in order to come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, in order to escape the condemnation of a devil's hell and enjoy a relationship with God in heaven forever. Think about it for just a second. The mission of Good Shepherd Baptist Church for hundreds and thousands here in the city of Grand Prairie, Good Shepherd Baptist Church stands between an eternity of condemnation and an eternity of celestial abiding with God forever. And Good Shepherd Baptist Church stands right there in the middle of those two extremes. And here is what you do. Here's why God has raised you up, is that they might be saved. Think about it. You may be the only hope for hundreds of lost people in this area. Simplicity of the mission is that they might be saved. Now, you know what? There are many things that some may try to substitute for this simple statement, but I'm telling you, church, the greatest of all the needs of the community around you, as great as those needs are, the greatest need they have is to know about Jesus Christ and His power to save. That's the greatest need. It's the greatest message. Simple, but eternally significant. I'm certainly not opposed to meeting material needs of our community. I think that's a good thing, and I'm not opposed to trying to reach people and counsel people and supply people with physical needs. That's all a really good thing. But all of those things are for the purpose of that we may point them to Jesus Christ, that they might be saved. Just the simplicity of the mission. Now I want you to notice something here, because this is very interesting. Notice in verse 1 here in our text, Paul says that, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for," and what's the next word? Israel. Is that they might be saved. Now let that sink in for just a little bit, because when we think about Israel, they are God's chosen people. Right? They are. I still believe that. They are the apple of God's eye. They are God's chosen people. Isn't it interesting that Paul says that Israel might be saved? Do you remember this? Do you remember that Israel was not lacking in religion? They had religion, but they'd missed the Savior. Interesting that the very Messiah that they were anticipating, they had just crucified. They had just missed it. And Paul is saying, my prayer is that Israel might be saved. They needed salvation the same way that the Gentiles needed it. They had religion. As a matter of fact, are you still there in our text? Please say yes. Look at verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Look at verse number 2. As a matter of fact, you know, I said that it's the thematic statement. It is what leads us. The very next four verses in the King James Bible all starts with the little connecting word for. When the word for is there, it means something has preceded it, right? Something happens and then for. The next four verses all began with the word for. Look at verse 2. Paul says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Verse 3. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." In other words, they have been trying to do it on their own idea of righteousness and what righteousness is. Look at verse 4. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." Here's the deal. Paul says, I'm praying that Israel would get saved. They have religion, but it wasn't enough. And as a matter of fact, glance on down. Look at verse number 10. We look at verse 10. Look at verse number 11. Paul says, For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Watch this in verse 12. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Look at verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There's no difference, he says, in the Jew and the Greek. And get this, "for the same Lord over all." And church, can I tell you something? I'm glad we worship him who is Lord over all. Can I tell you, he's not Lord over just a little, a Lord over a lot. He's Lord over all. Boy, that ought to make a backslidden Episcopalian shout right there. "The same Lord over all," get this, "is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever," that includes me, "for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm telling you, that's what it's all about. Getting people saved. People coming to know Christ. And I want to tell you, when they come to know Christ, it invades every territory of their lives. The greatest solution is to get people to Christ. You want to change a culture. You want to change a lifestyle. Bring them to Christ. Because He and He alone can change a life. Listen, that's the simplicity of our mission. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. It all comes down to this. That's what you're all about. Let's reach the lost. That's what it's all about. The simplicity of the mission. Let me give you number two. Can I do that? Please say yes. Number two, the simplicity of the mission. But I want you to note with me number two, the sincerity with which it's performed. Here's the simplicity of the mission, that they might be saved. But number two, I want you to note with me the sincerity with which it is performed. Notice what he says. Brethren, here it is. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Pay attention. Paul says, my heart's desire and my prayer to God. You know what? You read that and it becomes very evident that Paul is not just being casual when it comes to Israel being saved. Did you notice that? Because here's what he says. Israel getting saved, for us, Grand Prairie getting saved. Are y'all with me? It's my heart's desire and my prayer to God. There's nothing casual about Paul's interest in this mission. To him, the ministry was not merely an occupation. Being a Christian was not merely a title. Soul winning was not merely a slogan. And passion was not merely a convenient word. Paul says, my heart's desire. It's that word desire is the Greek word eudokia, which is translated four other times in the New Testament by good pleasure. It has the idea of strong delight or strong longing. Here's what Paul is saying in verse number one. He is saying, brethren, my heart's desire, my eudokia, my desire, my passion, my longing, the thing that drives me, my heart's desire is that they might be saved. That's what I long for. That's what I live for. That's why I do what I do, because it is my eudokia. It is my passion, my heart's desire. Would y'all agree with me that there are many competing distractions for the desires of our hearts? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? There are a lot of things that compete for the desires of our hearts. A lot of things. Money, fame, pleasure. And you know, boy, I could just preach on all of those things, couldn't I? A lot of things that compete for the desires of our hearts. And what you desire is probably different than what I desire. And there are many things that are out there. But I want you to get this. Here's what Paul said. You know what my heart's desire is? is that Israel might be saved. I don't know about y'all, but I read that and I'm convicted. I'm probably preaching to a whole pious crowd here this morning, and you live probably up above everybody else, and you know, in your holy little realm, and y'all probably never have evil thoughts and never get distracted, and right? Is that the crowd that, or is that the other church that? That's the other. Okay. But I read that in here, and I got to tell you, that convicts my heart. And the reason is this, I'm afraid. I'm afraid for me. I'm afraid that there are many times in my life when my heart's desire is on other things than just lost people getting saved. Say amen or oh me. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm convicted at that. Brother Will, I'm convicted. And listen, if that disqualifies me from preaching at your church again, that sometimes my heart's desire is not the loss. The truth is you'd be without a job too, right? Yeah. My heart's desire. And Paul's saying, that's what I live for. Why did he... If you study the life of Paul, why did he go through what he went through? The beatings, stonings, the criticisms. Any of y'all ever get criticized? Why did he do that? You know what I'd say to you? I'd say it's something like this. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire, my eutychia, my longing. But did you notice this? Not only did he say my heart's desire, but did you notice this? He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. He not only had a heart's desire, but you know what he was also doing? He was praying for it. He was praying for them. Praying. What was he praying? That they might be saved. Again, convicting. I got to tell y'all, it's a whole lot easier to preach than it is to practice. My prayer to God. You know what he's doing? He's coming before the throne of God and he's bringing Israel to him. His prayer is that Israel might be saved. Don't raise your hands. And I'm not going to raise mine either. Don't raise your hands. Let me ask you something. When is the last time you prayed for someone that's lost? When is the last time you prayed for the lost in South Grand Prairie? I feel Holy Spirit conviction. My prayer to God is that they might be saved. By the way, can I just throw this in? Please say yes. I think the order is significant here as well. Did you notice this? Brethren, get this. My heart's desire and coordinating conjunction, prayer to God. I think the order is significant. And it's for this reason. Heart's desire, prayer to God. And the reason I think it is significant is for this. We will pray the most earnestly about the things we desire the most. Does that make sense? we will pray the most earnestly about those things that we desire the most. When something is heavy on our heart, when something is pressing upon us, I want to tell you that's the time we get down to real good praying. Right? I mean, it is none of this good bread, good meat, good gosh, let's eat stuff. It's none of this, now I lay me down to rest, a stack of books upon my chest. If I should die before I wake, that's one less test I have to take, you know? It's nothing like that. We pray the most fervently about the things that we desire the most. And so here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, brethren, my heart's desire, man, his burden, his longing, his passion, my desire is that Israel might be saved. And he's coming before Almighty God and he's praying, God, bring salvation to Israel. That's what he's doing. He's sincere, not shallow. Preacher, can I say something? And boy, this could get me ran out of town. But can I tell you, most churches today are very shallow in what they're all about. Very shallow. And it's just nothing more than, what can we do to draw a crowd? What can we do to be popular and entertain? And listen, I am not just throwing rocks and being critical at somebody who has more or does more than me. I'm simply saying, listen, we need to have, as churches in America, and if we're going to turn our nation around, it is going to have to be people, churches who come alive with a passion for winning lost souls. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I'm going to give you this now and I'll close. Let me just ask a couple of searching questions. All right? Just searching questions. And again, don't raise your hands. Don't, you know. Just a couple of searching questions. Question number one is this. Is how passionate am I about reaching lost souls? Just kind of let that sink in. How passionate am I about reaching lost souls? And then the second question is this, is how regularly do I pray for people who are lost? Because I think, if what Good Shepherd Baptist Church is all about, it all comes down to this, I would think that these are the things that ought to concern us most. Don't you think? How passionate am I about lost souls? How regularly do I pray? I came across something the other day that I found neat. You've heard the poem, haven't you? 10 Little Indians. You remember that poem? Put them in the boat. Boat turns over. Ten. You know the. Y'all know. This dates me. I'm old. I know. But y'all remember that? I found something called the 10 Little Christians. Let me share it with you right fast. 10 Little Christians. 10 Little Christians came to church all the time. One fell out with the preacher, and then there were 9. 9 little Christians stayed up late. One overslept on Sunday, and then there were 8. 8 little Christians on the way to heaven. One took the low road, then there were 7. 7 little Christians chirping like chicks. One didn't like the singing, and then there were 6. 6 little Christians seemed very much alive. One took a vacation, and then there were 5. 5 little Christians pulling for heaven's shore. One stopped to take a rest, and then there were 4. 4 little Christians, each as busy as a bee. One got his feelings hurt, and then there were 3. Y'all don't have any problems like that, right? 3 little Christians couldn't decide what to do. One couldn't have his way, and then there were 2. We know about that, right? Two little Christians. Each one more. Now don't you see, two and two make four. Four little Christians worked early and late. Each brought one, and now there are eight. Eight little Christians, if they double as before, in just seven Sundays, would have 1,024. The message of this jingle is clear and true. You're either on the building or on the wrecking crew. Brother Will, what would happen if every member of Good Shepherd Baptist Church would say, you know what? I may not be the smartest, but our mission is simple. What if every member of Good Shepherd Baptist Church said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to become a committee of one, and I can at least bring one more. And each bringing one more, and one bringing one more, and one bringing one more. Can I tell you? This building wouldn't be big enough to hold them all. I'm simply saying this. It all comes down to this. It all comes down to this. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I can get a handle on that. It all comes down to this. And I guess maybe just my challenge to you this morning, and this is certainly a Sunday of celebration, my challenge simply would be to accept this challenge. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Grand Prairie is that they might be saved. And because of that, it would drive us. It would drive us to say, I will work when I am weary, because it all comes down to this. I will preach though I'm ignored, because it all comes down to this. I will witness though I am scorned, because it all comes down to this. I will pass out tracts until I pass out flat, because it all comes down to this. I will love the unlovable, because it all comes down to this. I will leave my comforts and go to the conflict, because it all comes down to this. I will give it my all and give all I have, because it all comes down to this. I will invest my life and leave the dividends up to God, because it all comes down to this. Then when all of life is over and I draw my last breath, I will proudly drop this veil of flesh and rise to my heavenly home. There I will exchange the weeping that I have endured for the night for the joy that comes in the morning. I will end my going forth with weeping and triumphantly bring my sheaves with me, and there exchange them for a reward that will never fail, fade, falter, or flee. I will have fought the fight, kept the faith, finished my course, and know that I have chosen the greatest path that I could ever have possibly followed, because it all comes down to this.